Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few, but if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
This is Jones and Keefe.
Jeremy's taking his position. I respect his position, and you know, to some degree, probably respects ours. We just have a gap to fill. It was also the intention to have a goaltender of Jonas's level in the discussions we had around the league again, and or going to free agency to fill that spot, that we would feel comfortable in this position. You know, ultimately, we're a better team, as I've said all along, if Jeremy is part of our hockey club. That's my intention. That's my wish, and I'll continue to work to do that. You know, I think Jeremy and the team are both hurt in this regard, and that's what I'll do. I'll just try and work hard to find a settlement point.
Jones and Keefe, right now on WEEI.
Oh my, what a day yesterday.
What a day. What a day.
Bruins land. Man. It was wild. It continued well after we got off the air,
yes.
Keefe. We'll get you up to speed on all of it here on Jones and Keefe on WEEI. Some Patriots talk on the show today. A little Red Sox, a little Celtics. A lot of Bruins, though.
A lot of bees.
With the season opener about a week away.
1 week.
1 week from today?
1 week from tonight. They're going to be playing a game that matters.
I should have double-checked.
Check the schedule.
Precisely 1 week from today.
They're on the ice tonight.
They drop the puck.
They drop the puck.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
1 week from tonight. Mm-hmm. We'll have the big countdown for that. Corpusalo, your guy, will be betwixt the pipes because Jeremy Swayman.
I want credit for that. That is my
guy. Haven't signed Jeremy Swayman yet. I don't know if you've heard this. There's not been a deal for one Jeremy Swayman, and yesterday, this is how dumb we are. They have a press conference at 11, and we're like, oh, they're probably going to talk about the cuts. No, they didn't really talk much about the cuts. They talked very specifically about that, about the negotiations with Jeremy Swayman, insofar as Cam Neely told you how much they offered him.
Oh, so it was...
That doesn't happen.
It does not happen often. It was good stuff. Good stuff.
Yeah, it was.
You heard Sweeney there off the top. We'll give you more of Cam Neely. But the short story, as we talked about quite a bit yesterday, is they've offered him $8 million per. They've offered him max term. They think he wants to reset the goalie market. They believe he wants to be here, which I'm not so sure about. And we'll get to all your thoughts on it here today. 617-779-7937. That's your phone number to get in touch. You can text the show at 37937. Other ways to interact on Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keefe. You can watch on twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. The Twitch chat is already mocking us here, Keefe. Oh, you guys can talk things
mocking
other
us?
Than the Patriots?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, we can. I thought we talked quite a bit of Bruins yesterday.
Show enough,
to be honest.
Yeah, we really do.
But yes, we can. You can also view on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI. Watch along there. You can see old interviews, past interviews, like Devon Godchow.
Yeah, I was making the rounds a little bit.
Letting us know yesterday it was.
How about it?
Letting us know that the team's selfish.
Yeah.
And he's pissed at them.
4 weeks into the season, and these guys are in it for themselves already.
So don't worry. We'll be getting to that later on in the show. Tommy Curran is going to join us here on a Tom E. Tuesday. It's also a Tier Tuesday. We'll talk
mackerel.
To Razor as well. Andrew Raycroft at 11 o'clock.
Still a four-hour show? Feels
yeah.
like we might. Okay, that's a lot of stuff you just said.
We can, you know, if Andy and Arcan want to let us run. Nah, we don't.
No, we're going to leave it too. Yeah, but we'll that's fine.
155-ish, we'll be out.
Yeah, yeah, that's correct.
But yeah, we can jam all that in on the program today. So a lot of questions as it relates to Jeremy Swayman. What's he worth? And that's, by the way, a couple of different potential avenues you could take there. What's he worth financially? What's he worth in a trade? What's the end game here? Is Swayman going to break? Are the Bruins going to break? Who are you rooting for in that back and forth? If one size blinks, or side rather blinks, when's that going to be? Is it December 1st? Is it right after opening night? When does that happen? So we can get into all of it, but I do want to lead with the agent's response. This is representation for Jeremy Swayman on Instagram last night, Lewis Gross.
Yeah, Lewis Gross, who I think... You know, it might not be a household name like Drew Rosenhaus and Scott Boras that we're so familiar with, guys that have a ton of clients and get the most money for them and often can be tough negotiators. I mean, you look at, I feel like, pardon the pun, I feel like Scott Boras may have lost his fastball with some of those Blake Snell, Jordan Montgomery deals. Mm. But either way, I feel like Lewis Gross, add him to the mix. He is a guy that I don't think GMs like dealing with.
No. So here's what he said last night. Normally, I do not release statements or discuss negotiations through the media. Mm. However, in this case, I feel I need to defend my client.
All right. That's what you're paid for.
Jeremy Swayman.
Yep.
At today's press conference, $64 million was referenced. We played that for you a number of times yesterday. Cam Neely, by the way, you can see the statement now if you're watching on Twitch.
Look at that. So if you're more of a visual learner, that's pretty helpful.
Yeah.
I have 64 million reasons why I'd be playing right now.
Ah, so there's the reference he was talking about. This was the first time that number was discussed in our negotiations. Prior to the press conference, no offer was made reaching that level. So no offer was made, reaching that level. An offer was made, you can infer there. We're extremely disappointed. This was not fair to Jeremy. We'll take a few days to discuss where we go from here. So, Keith, I'll ask you, where do they go from here?
A couple days, just have like a little bit of a, I don't know, little chat between the two. Does this mean they're going to demand a trade, or does this mean maybe Jeremy Swayman talks to his agent and is like, I really do want to play, and if $8 million is on the table, I'll take the $64 million.
Yeah.
Right, so maybe Swayman just ends up taking this deal, because what it feels like right now, within the span of just a couple of hours, the Bruins are calling Jeremy Swayman greedy and selfish, and then Jeremy Swayman, through his agent, is turning around and calling the Bruins liars.
Yep.
Neither are great to be called, right? No. Neither, I think, would lead to a great and smooth relationship here going forward. So, yeah, it is bad. It is very rocky right now, but it doesn't mean it can't change, right? The Lewis Gross, we talked about William Nylander. He had a similar type of situation. And I believe the late Johnny Gaudreau, right? I think it was two guys that waited a long time to sign a deal.
I mean, Gaudreau left Calgary and went to Columbus for a massive deal. Yep. And so all I would highlight there,
these guys have gotten their money, but it took some time.
Well, and Gaudreau didn't free agency. He had to leave Calgary to get it. Nylander ended up, I guess, caving, if you will, at the last second.
Yeah, he was like, I want to play. He's like, let's get something done.
His clients get their money, and he plays hardball with these teams.
So here's
that's
the thing.
What I would
Does
tell you.
Swayman have, I feel like the agent, it's not even a question. He absolutely has the appetite to push this thing and take it, you know, make it very uncomfortable for the Bruins. How uncomfortable is Jeremy Swayman willing to get? Is he willing to say, I've gone this far? Like, it's already uncomfortable. So am I willing to dig in a little bit more? Does he accept $64 million? Or does he want $80 million? Or he's like, all right, $72 million. Like, what is the number that Jeremy Swayman would take? Because we know that he already got his feelings hurt. He doesn't like how all this has played out.
Yep.
So is there even a number that he's like satisfied with that he'll be good with? Because you ask the question, what is he worth? And put in a trade aside, just what is he worth? I think eight for 8 is really fair. I think that is right where he should be.
Well, I think in a vacuum, it's fair.
Yeah.
I think when you kind of go through past negotiations, you say, well, I'm not going to cut them any fair deals. I want to win the negotiation. They won the negotiation
but part of
the last couple
not,
go rounds.
But he's not an unrestricted free agent.
Nope.
Right? So he doesn't have that going for him. But he also, I think putting him, what, 6th highest average annual value for this guy, I think is fair. I don't think you need to pay him more than Bobrovsky or more than Carey Price's deal. 8 is very respectable. You'd only have Pastrnak and McAvoy making more on the team. And I think that is fair. I think, you know, the offers of 6 weren't. The ask of 10 was, I think, high. And then what's in between 6 and 10? Oh, I don't know, 8. Like, I feel like 8 is the one spot that maybe both sides could agree to. The Bruins have publicly said they offered him 8. But then Pastrnak, 8, or Swayman's agent is saying that was never offered. So what we don't know is, would that have been accepted? If that truly was offered, if that truly was communicated to Swayman.
Do you believe it was, hang on, do you believe the Bruins offered it?
Yes.
Me too. I don't.
I think Gross is scrambling.
Okay, there's no way. And like, trust me, I don't believe organizations often. I think they lie a lot. But there's no way Cam Neely comes out and volunteers the number. 64 million.
And sitting next to his boss and his other two guys. Like,
no chance he comes out and says that number if the Bruins haven't actually offered it, because the PR nightmare
that's
of that,
reckless,
that it comes out that, oh, we offered him this and you never actually offered it, is just not worth it to the team to put that out there and get caught in that lie. Agents lie all the time.
That's
so
part of the job.
What I think is going on, and, you know, Nick had this theory last night, I think it's a good one, where it's possible the Bruins offered it to the agent never shopped it to the player, and now the agent's covering his tracks because Jeremy Swayman doesn't know the Bruins ever offered that.
Yeah.
And he's been playing and negotiating on the player's behalf, this guy Lewis Gross, on behalf of Jeremy Swayman. He's been negotiating on his behalf and playing hardball with the team, and Swayman isn't totally in the loop. And maybe Swayman wants it that way. A lot of players say, I let my agent deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
I let my agent deal with all this. You don't need to give me every little offer. When the agent thinks we're at a point where he needs to shop the offer back to me and we don't have leverage anymore and this is the last best offer, great. So maybe Swayman empowered him to do that, but I think that's what's going on if I had to guess. I think the Bruins offered him 8 for 64.
Yeah.
I think the agent knows they can get more. I think Swayman said, come talk to me when you think they've given their best deal. This isn't the best offer yet. The Bruins are desperate, which is why Neely came out and said we've offered $64 million. And that's the disconnect here. But I believe they actually offered.
Yeah, so do I. And I think, you know, you're sitting up there with Jacobs and with Montgomery and with Sweeney. He's in front of everybody, and he offers it point blank. Like, yeah, I think that one would come back to bite you if that wasn't true. So I think that was offered. I don't know if Swayman was aware of it. You'd like to think so. But then again, who knows? Maybe he's dead set. He's like, I'm going to get you more than that, so I'm not even going to come to you with the $8 million. Like, we're gonna keep fighting this thing. No, you want 10? We're going to get you 10.
No, if the agent says, hey, we're playing hardball here, and if you're ready for it, and to answer a question you asked earlier, I think Swayman's dug in. We heard that interview he did.
Or he's a business guy.
He is a businessman.
Yeah, he's a businessman.
It's a businessman.
Yeah, sure is.
And so, you know,
but it's a lot easier to be a businessman all summer long, and then all of a sudden you see your team playing. You're like, all right, well, it's just preseason, whatever. Like, then they play regular season games, and God forbid Corposalo and Bussy look pretty good. You're going to be like, what the hell did I just do?
Yeah, I mean, it's possible.
It's a risk.
But he's the guy. When you come out in an interview and say, yeah, I know my worth and I want to raise the bar for the position.
Yeah.
That sounds to me like a guy who's dug in. We'll see if he caves. I'd be disappointed in him if he caves.
But that was like,
I think he has
that,
the hammer. I think they have the hammer in this negotiation.
Papelbon said he was going to set the closer market or whatever, mm-hmm, and like put it out there. Then that was when he got the big Phillies deal, I think. Right?
Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
like,
left.
So guys can say it and they can get their deals. I just feel like Swayman was probably insulted by 6. He's already been insulted by this whole process. And now it comes down to, did he know about the 8 per year, and would he take it? And right now, is there any chance in hell that the Bruins up their offer, / could they lower it? Could they go back to him and be like, hey, we'll take the 8 for 8? And like, no, we're not going to do that anymore. Right, like nothing's been signed.
Offer,
clearly, nothing's been agreed to.
An offer can be pulled. The Patriots do that. The Patriots under Belichick did that all the time to free agents.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They pull offers all the time.
That's Shady Acres, but that's also the business that you're in. It's I just wonder if that is what happens, because Neely is as bothered about a negotiation as I think anybody in that position can be.
Well, you know what I'd say to him? Tough.
No, because, I'm just saying he
because
is,
you just fattened up on this guy the last couple of years.
Yeah.
And so you've had the better end of the negotiation for the last few years because you had the hammer.
You
the
know Bruins, what I also think it is?
The Bruins had leverage. They don't have leverage anymore. So tough, Cam.
No, they got rid of their leverage.
You can stamp your feet and be pissy all you want.
He is.
Tough. You don't have the leverage.
I think they're shocked that this has gotten so out of hand because everybody else has been an easy negotiation, with the exception of Torrey Krug, who they probably realized, you know what, we need less small defensemen anyway.
Torrey Krug, also represented by
Louis Gross. Yeah, no surprise there, but he's not the player that these other guys are. Like, they've gotten all these Pastrnak, Marchand, McAvoy deals, like, done pretty well. You know, the Pastrnak one kind of dragged a little bit. There was so much money involved, and he probably could have made a little bit more on the open market. So they locked up all these guys. Remember, we'd be like, oh my God, like, these guys just love playing in Boston, making the job easy for Sweeney. And then you have the one goalie who's like, no, I'm not gonna play that game. And then these guys don't know how to handle it, and they start lashing out in the media.
Yeah, so Cam a little unhinged yesterday. Maybe it works out for the Bruins, maybe it doesn't. My sense is it won't.
Mm.
Text line 37937. We got this question a bunch yesterday. Are you sure they offered him 8 years? Or do they offer him 9 or 10?
They can't anymore. So that used to be a thing.
They can't offer more than 8.
Yeah, 8's the max for a guy on your own team. 7's the max for somebody on another team. But I get why people are confused by that, because it used to be 10, 15, 20-year deals in hockey.
And Sweeney,
can't do that anymore.
Sweeney said they offered max term. That's 8 years.
So my guess is, going back to the Spit and Chicklets report about they offered 6.4 or whatever, I wouldn't be surprised if that was the initial
original offer.
And then Swayman's camp got all butthurt about it, and then the Bruins were like reluctantly moved it up to 8.
Okay, but what does that tell you? If the Bruins went from a reported 6.4 to now a confirmed by Cam Neely 8, what does that tell you?
Well, I'm right about the 10 ask.
Well, definitely.
And then also that they were willing to move off that. They realized, all right, we want the guy.
It tells you who has the leverage. They already bumped their AAV $1.5 million. That tells you who has the leverage. They're going
to more likely scenario, the Bruins bump it up to 9 per year, or Swayman takes 8 per year.
The Bruins bump it to 9.
I think Swayman's going to be like, I'm missing too much time. I'll take 8.
Interesting.
That's okay. That's my thought. I mean, who knows?
Look, you're the one who's plugged in
this. That is very true.
But I think it's more likely the Bruins go to 9 than he takes 8. And
man,
I think
I'm sure the relationship will be great when he's in the building. Well, he sees Cam and Don.
I think the most likely scenario might be he gets dealt.
That's what it's feeling like.
Like, that statement from the agent feels like we're going to take a few days to evaluate what we're doing.
Lick our wounds here. Maybe have a nice dinner.
That sounds like somebody who's ready to get dealt. So, hey, Bruins fans, you tell us. 617-779-7937. Whose side are you on? Is $8 million fair for Jeremy Swayman? Should he take it? Do you want him to hold out for $9.5 million, $10 million, reset the goalie market? Who are you rooting for?
That's what you want, right?
In the negotiation. That's definitely
what
I want.
You want him to hold out,
I think he's worth it, by the way.
Yeah.
I know he's not an unrestricted free agent, but he's worth more than Elias Lindholm. They gave Lindholm 7.75.
Yeah, 8's more than that.
I know it's different positions, but like, Elias Lindholm just got here. He's never done anything in his career. He's never been a top-line guy on a championship-winning team.
It's going to have to be now.
And so he's getting 7.75. I look at him, I'm Jeremy Swayman, I'm like, you just paid this guy who's done nothing for this team? I'll get my number.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. So I am on his side. Do you want him dealt? Are you done with it? Are you saying, look, let's cash him in. Let's get what we can for him. I don't want to deal with this guy. He's not worth 8. Never mind 9 or 10. Make the trade. And how much does it impact the Bruins on the ice? You guys can jump in on all that. It's 617-779-7937. Yeah.
Is you and I were on right after Cam Neely had his little meltdown. Very entertaining, but his little like kind of hissy fit that he had. And you certainly viewed it a little bit differently. I was kind of in the middle, whereas I think the majority of fans are saying, all right, screw Swayman. Like, if they offered you 8 for 64, get in camp. This could be a good team. Just get in there. $8 million is not a slap in the face. So I think Cam Neely, and fans still like Cam Neely, still remember the player Cam Neely and all that stuff. I think the majority of people are on his side, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. Let me ask you, when do you think the Bruins upped their offer? Because I agree. They went from 6.4 to 8 million, let's call it. Let's assume Spit and Chicklets is right. We know they're offering 8. When do you think they did that? What if they did it? What if they did it 2 days ago?
I had that 12 days ago or 13 days ago that
they wouldn't go north of 8.
Right.
But had they gone to 8?
I think so.
Okay.
I think before camp would be my guess.
Okay.
When camp started, I think. Right, because that was when the big scoop-off was the first day of camp.
It was on the eve of camp.
So I think the night before is when I got the $8 million thing. So again, who knows if Jeremy Swayman got that info. I had the info. Hopefully Jeremy Swayman had
it too.
That's a good
point.
But I would say probably then. My guess is most of the summer it was in the sixes. Maybe there was some truth. I know Sweeney got all butthurt about it, but maybe there was some truth to the not returning calls thing.
All I'll say, I'm sure the Bruins offered it, but when did they offer it and how much, like, gnashing of teeth was going on? Like, the Red Sox eventually started offering Mookie Betts some pretty good deals. Eventually. But it was after all of this haggling and negotiating back and forth.
Comparing them to the players and everything else.
Yeah, and look, if you're always late with your offer, then I think the other side starts to go, okay, like, what are we doing here? And look, Swayman's not Mookie Betts, so maybe that's an unfair comparison.
Right, right.
But this feels a little Red Sox-y by the Bruins, is all I would say.
Yeah, modern Red Sox-y, because back in the day, Theo Epstein didn't take any player to arbitration because he knew how bad it was. He knew that wasn't a good business strategy, and he was right.
Yeah, and maybe it's unfair to compare the Bruins to the Red Sox because the Bruins do pay most of their players. They just paid Lindholm. They paid Zadorov. They paid McAvoy.
Well, there's
Pastrnak.
There's a cap, and they spend to it.
Yeah,
so.
But they've also overpaid McAvoy and overpaid Pastrnak.
Wait, you think they overpaid those guys?
I mean,
Wait a minute. You want to give Swayman $9, $10 million, and yet you don't think Pastrnak's worth $11
million? No, I do think they're worth it, but I'm saying, I think they, when I say overpaid, I think they got out of their comfort zone, maybe is what I mean.
Oh, yeah. Like, that's not the norm for them.
Yeah, because
Bergeron, Krejci, Marchand,
extended a little bit, maybe is the way to put it. They got outside their comfort zone. So if I'm Swayman, I say, get outside your comfort zone on me. And, okay, a fair deal is nice. I want a little bit more. Let's push the envelope. Do what you did for Pastrnak. Do what you did for McAvoy. And by the way, he's better than McAvoy. So I would be wanting McAvoy-ish money. We've heard that contract thrown around before. I get that from his perspective. So we'll get to your thoughts. 617-779-7937. We'll get to Neely's role in all of this. Do you like him standing up to the player yesterday? Do you think Don Sweeney is a fan of what Cam Neely did yesterday? Do you think that's poisoned the well? And what do you do with Jeremy Swayman? Do you trade him? Do you pay him? Do you play brinksmanship? Until December 1st, you guys can jump in on all that.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more rips,
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
I think overall, Don's done a really good job of initial offers to players. One of the things we talked about when he got the job was, you know, being a former player, I'm not a big fan of low ball, high ball, figure it out somewhere in the middle. It's like, okay, get the right comp group, put the right offer on the table. And I think, you know, Don's pass has shown that he can get deals done. This is one that's just been a little trickier, that's all. I mean, I strongly believe that Jeremy wants to play here. I've asked him flat out, do you want to play here? And he does. I believe that they'll get a deal done. It's unfortunate it's not done today.
Since you say you were surprised, Cam, can you share any of the specifics here, be it what his ask is in terms of dollars or term?
Well, I don't want to get into the weeds with what his ask is, but I know that I have 64 million reasons why I'd be playing right now.
And I'll dovetail to that. There's been stories around saying he's looking to reset the goalie market. Do you feel that's the case?
I do, yeah. I do.
In context to what? Or?
Well, just what his ask is and what we believe his comp group is are two different things.
Cam Neely, yesterday, the extended play.
So, just to clarify...
That was the director's cut of Cam Neely, the full thing. Yeah.
Is the deal done? No? No, it's not. He is mad about it. It feels like maybe Sweeney... I feel like Sweeney and Swayman could get a deal done. I feel like Cam Neely and Lewis Gross could not and will not get a deal. If those two guys are the main voices, it's not happening. Because I don't think either one is going to give in to the other. But maybe Sweeney and Swayman. Because Sweeney didn't say anything bad about Swayman yesterday. I don't think.
No.
It was mostly Neely kind of
Yesterday. Sweeney kind of did the week before, though. Sweeney was like, you're hurting your team.
Oh, he did say
you're
that.
You're hurting yourself.
He seemed pissed at spitting chiclets than he did at Swayman.
Whereas Neely is straight up mad at Swayman and his agent. Sweeney was more pissed at the media than the Swayman negotiation. In fact, the clip we played right off the top. Like, no, we respect... You're a free agent. You can utilize your right to, you know, what the CBA allows you to do, which is what Swayman's doing. And Sweeney's very clear he didn't begrudge it. I mean, Neely said he thinks they're going to end up getting a deal.
By December 1st.
Well, right. But do you think that helps, Keith? Like, do you think this is going to push the sides closer together? And Swayman goes, hey, you know what? I mean, I know you're negotiating for me.
Give me a goalie hug.
But $8 million's $8 million, and I want that $8 million. Or do you think this is creating an even bigger divide and an even bigger wedge? I definitely think it's that second.
So the only way it helps is if you want to believe the theory that
Swayman didn't know the offer
correct.
Was there. Yeah.
That's the only way. And I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to your agent. But if your agent isn't saying this, I need to say it out loud in the public space. That's the only way. And I guess there's a slim chance that that's true. And then Swayman's like, all right, dude, I'll take $8 million.
You say slim because, and again, you've been all over this reporting. Your logic is, and you said this in the first segment, if I knew, Swayman should know.
I would hope that Swayman knew.
Okay,
yeah,
so
I'm
like,
pretty low on the pecking
order. So you don't subscribe as much to the fact that the Bruins offered it. So how do we rectify? We both believe the Bruins offered it. So why is the agent saying it was never offered?
Yeah, just to make Sweeney or Neely look bad, I guess. Because Neely definitely could have had the same type of passion. And said, instead of saying 64 million reasons, say, like, we gave him a very competitive offer and left it open-ended. We don't know what it was, and we'd continue to speculate. I'd probably have that information in a day or two, but everybody else would be left to speculate. But he went very specific, so I feel like the agent felt like he had to retort, and I don't know what he was going to say, because I don't think he's not going to say how much they're asking for, because that's not a good look. When I reported the 10 million, the responses were almost across the board like Swayman's nuts. Like, don't pay him that. Like, that's crazy. Most of the responses were.
I think the universal response right now is that he's nuts to not take $8 million
a year. So I think he was sort of pushed into a corner. The agent's like, I need to respond. I can't take this laying down. So how do I spin it? And so I don't know. Like, straight up potentially lying is a bold strategy. Like, we'll see if it pays off for him.
Well, but somebody's lying.
Yes, somebody's 100% somebody's
the Bruins,
lying.
The Bruins, Cam Neely saying we offered 64 and the agent saying that never happened, somebody's lying.
Yeah, I would say that the agent is lying.
That's my guess.
I'm very much
on Swayman's side in the negotiation, but I don't believe a team comes out and says we offered this just to get disproven that it was never offered.
I don't think
that happens.
In that setting is outrageous. It's not like, oh, there's like a Fluto Shinzawa tweet that says, right, you know, according to my sources, they offered him 64.
Right.
No, this is Cam Neely sitting there with Sweeney, Jacobs, and Montgomery and just offering that information. I feel like that probably did get brought up during their negotiation.
So I think
it hurts it though. Like, I don't see Swayman and his agent being like, oh, okay, that was their, you know, their volley. Now it's our turn. Like, no, they're kind of like, this is worse than we could have imagined.
Do you think Cam planned that yesterday? And do you think he and Sweeney were on the same page, or you think Cam just couldn't hold back? I think he couldn't hold back. I don't think that was planned.
He runs hot.
My guess is, and Ken mentioned this to me, I think it's a good observation. My guess is Sweeney got done with that yesterday and it's like, what are you doing, Cam? Like, in all honesty, my guess is Sweeney goes, what are you doing?
What are you doing?
No, but I mean, like, maybe it's not quite in those terms. They're former teammates. Maybe it is that frank.
Yeah.
But, like, something along the lines of, Cam, that's not helping. To say what we've offered, we've now created a floor. Like, that's the least Swayman's going to take now.
I know. Yeah, they can't lower it, or they could.
Unless the Bruins pull their offer, and then they look like a-holes.
Yeah.
You gave them an offer, and now you pulled it? So, no, now you've created a floor. I don't think that helped. And my guess is whether Sweeney expressed it to Neely or not, he can't be happy with this because it's a bigger divide and a bigger wedge.
Best case now for the Bruins, I think, is Swayman. Let's live in a world for a second where Swayman didn't know that was the offer. He goes back to the Bruins and gets it done. And we've seen every once in a while where there's been big negotiations and then all of a sudden a player gets rid of their agent, right? Like, there are times that it just didn't work. Didn't Jordan Montgomery actually get rid of Boris after this nonsense?
Fired Boris, yeah.
So, I mean, I guess there's a slim chance of that. However, it doesn't really feel like that is Swayman's thought process, right? If he's the business school guy, if he's the resetting the market guy, I think he knew it was going to get ugly. Now, maybe he didn't think it was going to get this ugly,
mm-hmm.
but I also wonder, did he really think it's all well and good to ask for 10. Did he really think he was going to get there? We're going to be like, yeah, here's 10. And then would he have been happy with that? He's like, oh, man, I should have asked for 11. Like, what is he really think he was going to start the season with? Like, how many years, how much money? Because 8 for 8 seems pretty legit to me.
Well, is it possible he'd rather take 10 over, like, 4 than 8 over 8? Like, is it possible he'd rather do, like, a higher bridge contract than 8 years at $8 million,
where possible.
He looks at it in 5 or 6 years and he goes, I'm way underpaid.
Possible, yeah.
I'm locked in at this $8 million number and I'm way underpaid. It's possible.
It's definitely.
So maybe that helps explain some of it. He'd give up some total value to get more in the short term and hit the market again in 3 or 4 years. Maybe. I mean, I have no idea. Put a percentage on it, Keith, and then we'll get to some phone calls. 617-779-7937. What's the percentage chance that Swayman gets traded? Like in the next week? Forget by December 1st. What's the percentage he gets traded?
Just overall, you're saying?
Yeah.
This is a cop-out answer. I'd say like 50%.
Okay.
I think it's that high.
You think it's even higher than me. So
I think it's like, yes, this is bad, I would say.
Yeah. I mean, so 50-50, you think?
Yeah. Now, I think the Bruins would be kind of crazy to do it right now, but let's just say your scenario, your prediction plays out, and Corpusalo, with a good team in front of him, resorts back. A couple years ago, he wasn't horrible. Last year, he was bad, but he played on a terrible team. So let's say he has a decent start,
mm-hmm.
and then the kid is pretty good. Yeah, then I think the Bruins are definitely trading them. I don't think they trade them before they see these guys in action, but I could see them before that December 1st date being like, all right, enough. This is nonsense. Like,
yeah.
See you later.
Well, we could, whether they trade them or not, we could be days, hours away from a trade demand by Jeremy Swayman if they haven't done that already. Because, again, Lewis Gross, his agent, we're extremely disappointed. It's not fair to Jeremy. We're going to take a few days to discuss where we go from here, which sounds ominous. Let's get to the phones. Mark is in Medford. What's up, Mark?
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call. If you give me a minute, I just want to say I'm pretty sure that this is more Swayman's agent than Swayman himself. But if it is Swayman, then if I was the Bruins, I would literally tell him, "Listen, I know you're under, you're a restricted free agent, but we're going to give you permission to see if you can get $10 million somewhere else. And if you can, you know what? We'll trade you. Because this kid, I'm sorry, guys, the 6.5 was beyond fair. They offer, if they offered him $64 and $8 million a year, that's further beyond fair. This kid's not worth $10 million. Not yet. You have not proven to me that you should be probably the highest paid goaltender in the NHL. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't always agree with that. Why do you have to prove it before you get the contract? I mean, that's not necessarily how it works.
Yeah, I mean, you usually pay, like, good deals, you pay on what you're going to get rather than what you've already gotten, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's sort of part of the deal. No, but the Bruins walked themselves into this whole situation. Like, they should have known with much more certainty they were going to get a deal done before they traded Ullmark. Like, forget about the arbitration, who took who, and how all that played out. Obviously, it left a really sour taste in Swayman's mouth. But you had Ullmark. You had a guy who, playoff questions, sure. But in the regular season, since he's been here, he's been solid. And you traded him away. And then you're like, all right, now we're gonna commit to a guy. It's like, oh, what's that? You don't agree to our lowball offer? Like, oh, crap.
Yeah.
So, like, he has leverage. Even if he's not the best goalie in the league, like, this happens all the time in every sport. When a player comes up, that's their time to get paid. And if the salary cap, especially in a salary cap sport, if the cap is going up, then, yeah, they're going to make more than some guys that are better than them. But those guys that are better than them signed their deals 3 years ago.
Yeah.
So if the money's going up, it's pretty easy to fall.
Let's talk about fair. Swayman was making $1 million a year the first 3 years of his career. I'd say the Bruins got a good deal on that.
I think he outplayed that.
He made $3.5 million about last year against the cap. And so, you know, to me, what's fair? Like, who's had the better fair end of the deal? It's been very favorable to the team, which is how these contracts work early. And if the Bruins were proactive and gave him a bridge contract or a deal last year, great, good for them. They would have been in front of it. They're not. They're chasing it now. So I think fair is kind of out the window. Everybody's saying this is fair and this is what he should take, and he hasn't proven it. Well, the Bruins had an opportunity last year, and they punted on it, and now they're paying for that. 617-779-7937. We have Andrew Raycroft.
The Razor.
The Razor. We'll get his thoughts on where the Bruins are at in these negotiations, where he thinks they're heading. Could Jeremy Swayman get traded and what the Bruins should do? Plus, we'll mix in a few thoughts on the Red Sox. They held their season-ending press conference yesterday. And, let's just say I don't think anybody's buying what they're selling. That's next.
I can assure you that the feeling is that our fans have been through a lot. They've been patient, and it's time to get back where we belong. We thought we had a good shot at getting there this year, but it's time to get back and go for that division title, play baseball in the postseason. That's why we're here. That's literally why the three of us are here. There's nothing like October baseball, and that's our responsibility and our obligation to the best fans in baseball. We fell short of that this year, but we're going to work tirelessly to get us back where we belong in the American League East. That's our commitment, to do everything we can. And talk is cheap right now. Words are hollow, but that's what we're gonna work on this offseason.
Sam Kennedy yesterday discussing the Red Sox and their offseason. He does a good job of saying the right thing.
He tries.
In the least believable way possible.
You're like, I don't believe
yeah,
you.
Yeah, you're just yeah. like, I know you're saying.
We're
like,
super committed and like, don't question
talk
the ownership.
Cheap, man.
Yeah, we want to win. I was a fan. I grew up steps away from Fenway Park. Like, so nobody like, cares.
Talk is cheap right now.
Yeah, yeah. Talk is cheap. Like, yeah.
Talk is cheap. Yeah, there's nothing there. It's they don't want to spend the money that you need to be a competitor. They don't want to do it. They want to be the small market team. They tried it with Heim Bloom. That's why they specifically hired him to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't work, so they blamed him. Right, like it was all his fault. Yep. I wasn't a big fan of his, but to dump it all on him obviously wasn't fair either.
Completely unfair.
And then they bring in Craig Breslow, and it's kind of more the same, except now you do have good prospects, and so you're just hoping that those guys turn into something, because anytime you're asked about the payroll, it's like, well, I don't know what the payroll is going to be. But I do know we're committed to winning. It's like, well, really the only way ownership groups can show they're committed to winning is by being willing to spend money. And you're the Red Sox. You should be a top five spender every year in baseball. You don't have to be the Dodgers or the Yankees or whatever, but you're in that next group down. You're not middle of the pack.
No.
You're not middle of the road. You're not losing out in free agency to the Kansas City Royals and the Tampa Bay Rays on guys.
They shouldn't. And, you know, I forget who's made this point recently. Maybe it was Tomasi. But, like, if they just outpaid the Royals for Seth Lugo,
yeah,
they'd be a playoff team.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, like right. All you had to do was outspend the Royals
the playoffs
on Seth
right
Lugo.
There.
Yeah,
they missed it by a few games.
Or you make a trade for Michael Lorenzen, or you make a trade for why am I blanking on the name who went to the Dodgers at the deadline? And like getting out negotiated by the Dodgers, I guess, isn't the
Jack
end of the
Flaherty.
World. Thank you, Jack Flaherty.
Oh yeah,
it's like
Jack Flaherty.
You can make moves in season. You could have just given a few extra bucks to Seth Lugo.
Yeah.
And out-negotiated the Royals.
Yeah, but I think we've also gotten batted down into being like, that's who they should... No, they should have gone for Corbin Burns.
No,
like, they should have been on that end. They're the freaking Red Sox.
Okay, I agree with that. But, like, if you get outspent at the top of the market here and there, I think...
Oh, that would happen anyway.
Anybody can tolerate that. When you're getting outspent consistently by the Royals, that's like that's a new low.
Yeah, that's something.
Is what that is.
That's an achievement.
It's Jones and Keefe. We got a lot of Bruins talk on the show today. The Jeremy Swayman negotiations have gone haywire. Is he right? Is the team right? Did Neely help yesterday? Could he get traded? Keefe thinks it's 50-50. He's going to get dealt. So you can jump in on that. 617-779-7937. We'll get back to it with Andrew Raycroft. We'll get his thoughts at 11 sharp. But just mixing in a few thoughts on the Red Sox. You said this, Keefe. They're now outside the top 10 in payroll. I don't think they should ever be outside the top five.
No.
I said this years ago when they moved on from Dombrowski, and I thought that was a sign they were beginning to cheap out, and I was right. They were cheaping out 5 years ago, and now they're outside the top 10 in payroll, which is embarrassing. They should never be outside the top five. They're consistently now outside the top 10. The biggest problem, Keith, the biggest issue, Red Sox home attendance this year, almost 2.7 million is what they were at. 2,659,000 is what they were at for the year.
All right.
That's their biggest issue. Like, the team is not spending the way they used to.
No.
It's not a great product on the field. It's zero star power when it comes to the Red Sox. Maybe if you want to give them some credit for Duran coming on this year, I'm sorry, Devers is not the kind of guy you sit down and watch and pay through the nose to go see. He's a good player.
No.
But that's not star power.
Yeah.
That's not a foundational face of the franchise kind of guy.
And then he'll call out the team when they're not spending in camp, and then he'll disappear when he starts to suck. So
the problem is people still pay for the product and show up, and they might not all be Red Sox fans.
No, but they don't care.
They don't care.
Park is full because Fenway Park is a museum. It's a historic monument, I believe, in the city. And, so they're gonna fill the park. They're not going to see it. Like, I think the Patriots might see it. That's a side topic. But the next couple of weeks, if it's Jacoby Brissett, what's it going to look like inside Gillette Stadium? Whereas, yeah, Fenway doesn't have that issue. But it is nauseating to hear year in and year out how they are committed to winning. And, like, how dare you question the ownership group? They obviously want to win. It's like, well, they've had a losing record in four of the last five seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And... Or not a winning record. This year they were 500. They would tell you, well, they have a losing record.
All right, a non-winning record.
They've had one winning record in the last 5 years, and that one obviously looks like more like an outlier than anything else.
Yep. So that's the problem. And I like how Dubs985 just put it in the Twitch chat. The fact they won't even consider signing Juan Soto, that's the problem.
Yeah, they should be a finalist, and whether you get him or not, like, you didn't always get the guy.
They're not even going to try. Maybe they take a meeting just to say they took a meeting. And they'll meet with whoever's representation is. And they'll probably do the same thing with Corbin Burns. They're not going to be in on these guys.
But Shohei Ohtani was available last year. He probably would have picked the Dodgers anyway, but like, you didn't want to get involved in
you
that?
You didn't try.
Shohei Ohtani. 50-50 watch.
In fairness,
turned into 60-60 watch.
In fairness, I love Dombrowski. He didn't even try the first go-around with Ohtani. But
true.
The Red Sox didn't try. They're not going
to
try.
But like Yamamoto, like all these guys are out there?
We know they're not going to try, and that's the problem. And we already know the plan for the offseason. Lou told us last week. Breslow said it. They're going to deal off from their organization, either prospects or the big league level. They're going to deal off left-handed bats.
Seriously, and he's good, but they're going to get Logan Gilbert or something and be like, here you go, Sox fans.
Okay.
Like, he's nice.
They should do that. They should.
I want Logan Gilbert. I'm just saying. Like,
trade Cassis or a prospect or whatever for Logan. That'd be a great trade. But they should supplement that.
People are going hog wild for Logan Gilbert.
They should supplement that with free agents. And
yeah,
they're not even going to consider it. So they're going to go, they're going to spin their tires and try to move a bat over here for an arm over there and make their team more balanced, and it might help. But they need to go all in, and they won't. And so I don't think anybody's buying what Sam Kennedy is selling.
No.
No one.
No.
And you hear more of it yesterday. You hear it from Breslow. You hear it from Cora. Oh, this is the last year we're going to struggle, says Cora. You're now paid to say that. You make $7 million a year. You're paid to say that.
Yep.
And so when's it going to change?
He's kind of the face of the team.
He is. When's it going to change? I don't see an end in sight.
Nope.
617-779-7937. We have a lot coming up on the program today. Kiefer Madness at 12:45. We have Tommy Curran.
Tommy Tuesdays.
Tommy Tuesday at high noon, as we do each and every Tuesday. We'll also get to our NFL tiers and a tier Tuesday about a half an hour from now. But on the way next, we'll check in with Andrew Raycroft of Nesson, get his thoughts on the Bruins negotiations or lack thereof with Jeremy Swayman. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.